I want to invite you to stand and take your Bible to the book of Luke. Luke, I want to call your attention to verse chapter 15 of the book of Luke, verse 11. This is what the scripture says. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Let me tell you, folks, many times we talk about the prodigal son, but this story is really not about the son. The father's mentioned 12 times. It's about what a loving father we have. Amen? What a loving father we have. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about don't give up on your prodigal. Don't give up on your prodigal. Bob Hill was a pastor, good pastor. He raised his son, Rob, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But Rob got into high school, and Rob started running around with the wrong crowd. And this is what I know. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, he that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Winners associate with winners, and losers associate with losers. Birds of a feather really do flock together. I love what Charles Tremendous Jones said. Charles Tremendous Jones said, tell me what you're reading, tell me who you're associating with, and I'll tell you where you'll be in 5 years. Rob got to running with the wrong crowd in his high school years, and I would encourage you not to do that. Rob started doing things that he never would have done before. Eventually, Rob goes off to college and he's not learning. He's just partying. And Rob flunks out of college. And then after that, he joins the army, but things don't get any better. He just continually drinks in the army. When he does come home or call home, he's just asking Bob and his wife for money. That's all he's interested in, is what he can get off his mom and dad. And this was a pastor that raised his child right. And Bob said one night he went to bed and he said, I had a dream. He said, Rob and I were out fishing like we had done many times. But he said the boat tipped over and we both went under. And he said, I swam to the shore and I started looking for Rob. And I looked forever and forever and forever, and I couldn't find Rob. And he said, after some time, in my dream, I looked about 200 yards in the distance, and there was Rob on a rock with a big smile on his face. He said, Daddy, I'm all right. Daddy, I'm all right. He said, I was awakened, and I woke up my wife and told her about the dream. And I said, Rob's going to be okay, honey. Rob's coming home. God showed me he's going to be all right. And he said, about 2 years later, Rob rededicated his life to the Lord. He said, later he married. Now he's given me 3 grandchildren. And he's actively involved, a deacon in his church. But he said, you know, all through the process, we didn't give up on Rob. Now, you know the word prodigal, ladies and gentlemen, that word prodigal, what does it actually mean? It actually means wasted. It means wasted. And a prodigal literally is wasting their lives. And here's what's amazing, folks. You know, when we think about prodigals, many times we think about a child. But you know, a prodigal could be your mate. A prodigal could be your parents. A prodigal could be your siblings. A prodigal could be a friend that's away from God. That's just a prodigal. That's just wasting their lives. And as I started researching, you know, when we think about prodigals, we probably think about the young man in this text who goes out and starts carousing, spends time with harlots, deep in sin. But folks, I'm convinced there are many types of prodigals. I want to give you five quick types of prodigals. First of all, there's the embarrassing prodigal. The embarrassing prodigal is the prodigal that perhaps is in jail. It's the prodigal that's public in what they're doing. It's the prodigal that says, I've been long enough in the closet. I'm coming out of the closet. And I want to say that I'm gay. It's an embarrassing prodigal. But you know, not only is there the embarrassing prodigal, there's the defiant prodigal. The defiant prodigal. They are determined to hurt those that love them. They are determined to tear the hearts out of those that love them the most. They're defiant prodigals. And then, folks, there are intellectual prodigals. Many times they go off to a humanistic school and they learn humanistic concepts. And before long, they're making statements like evolution makes more sense than creation. They're making statements like we've got to be open-minded. They're making statements like we've just got to be tolerant. We've got to be tolerant and we've got to be open-minded, and they're very successfully, many times financially, in great, great shape. And they're saying, we've just got to be open. But folks, sometimes we can become so open-minded, our brains fall out. But they're intellectual prodigals. Then there are lukewarm prodigals. You say, lukewarm prodigals. Oh, they're wonderful people. See, they're into family. Family seems to take the center focus. Family's everything. On the weekends, we get together as a family. Oh, we're into travel ball. We're at the lake. No, for those that need church, you do it if you really need it. But we've kind of gotten past that. We're family. We used to do it, but we really don't do it anymore. Our kids are in a Christian school, and we really don't on Sundays. That's family day. Let me tell you something, folks. Anybody can choose between good and bad. It's being able to choose between the good and best that's most important. It's being able to choose. And we've got lukewarm prodigals. But let me tell you something. They're religious prodigals. Oh, yeah. I've become a Jehovah's Witness. I'm now a Mormon. I'm a Christian scientist. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Buddhist. No. They're prodigals. They're just religious prodigals. And see, folks, what I've learned is people handle prodigals in different ways. Sometimes when people have a prodigal, they blame themselves. And they say, I was a terrible parent. And that's why my child turned out the way they are. But folks, if that concept is true, Adam and Eve sinned, and the only parent was God. So that would make God a bad parent. And certainly he was not. So sometimes people just blame themselves. And sometimes people have a prodigal, they just ignore the problem. They just ignore it. You know, sometimes people have a prodigal and they lie and cover it up. They just lie. I heard about one lady whose son's in prison. And every time somebody asks about her son, she says, well, he works for the state. And then there's the nagging. You nag, nag, nag. Every time you're around the prodigal, you nag, nag, nag. But reality is, they tuned you out years ago. And then there's the attempt to fix it. Every time the prodigal does something, we step in and we fix it. We got to step in and we got to fix it. We got to step in and we got to fix it. And by the way, folks, that works when they're in grade school, but that doesn't work when they become adults. It doesn't work when they become adults. Well, how do we reach, Pastor? How do we reach our prodigal? Let me give you some steps. Step number one is you got to realize only God can do it. You got to realize only God can do it. And here's what's so encouraging. God is more concerned about your prodigal than you are. If your prodigal is your sister, I want you to know this. God is more concerned about your prodigal than you are. God loves your estranged family member more than you do. I love Ruth Graham. She's gone on to heaven. Ruth Graham made this statement. She said, I'm glad, Billy Graham's wife, she said, I'm glad that God doesn't answer every prayer. She said, because if God had answered every prayer the way I wanted God to answer every prayer, I would have married the wrong man four times. Ruth Graham wrote a book entitled Prodigals and Those Who Love Them. And this is what she said. She said, we mothers must take care of the possible and trust God for the impossible. She said, we are to love, affirm, encourage, teach, listen, and care for the physical needs of our family. We cannot convict of sin, create a hunger and thirst for God, or convert. These are miracles, and miracles are not in our department. There's a second step to reaching our prodigal. That is, recall your past experiences with your prodigal. Recall your past experiences with your prodigal. Now, see, there's a verse that many times we don't understand. We read it all the time. It's Proverbs 22 and 6. It says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they shall not depart from it. But here, moms and dads and everyone else, I want you to realize, that's a proverb and not a promise. And a proverb is generally true, but not always. There's a difference between a proverb and a promise. That verse doesn't mean if you train your child up, unequivocally, they will return back to God. What that promise says is the message that you give your child will stay rooted in their lives, and nothing can ever eradicate it. But here's what I want you to understand. That individual still has a free will. My buddy, Phil Waldrop, he wrote a book about reaching your prodigal. And he talked about sometimes how children can get estranged and get distant from their parents. And he spoke in this book, which is a great book, about reasons why sometimes the children get distant from their parents. And I want to talk to you just a few minutes about some of those reasons. He gave this one. He said, one of the reasons is legalistic parents. Legalistic parents. And what I would say, let me say this first. I'm not saying I was a good father. I'm not saying I was. But I can tell you this. I never said to Savannah, in light of the fact I'm a preacher, I never said to Savannah, you need to do something because I am pastor of the church. I never wanted her to be anything other than just a normal child. And I never, folks, let me tell you something. It's kind of like holding a bird. You know, you can't hold the bird so tight that you kill the bird. But if you hold the bird too loose, the bird's going to fly out of your hands. And what I'd say, folks, I don't want to be remembered as a parent. I don't want to even be remembered as a preacher for all the things I was against. I hope to be remembered for the things I was for. And many times, while I'm on this, I'm just going to preach on. I know many preachers' children that are emotionally messed up. And the reason why they're emotionally messed up is they had a mom and dad that was extremely, extremely legalistic. And they were concerned more about the perception of everybody else than the reality of what was really happening in the life of the child. You've got to do this so I look a certain way. And he talked about that. He said there's a second reason why sometimes children are distant. He said it's when parents are one thing at church and another thing at home. He talked about when parents seem to care more about others' children than they did their own. I've had children say to me, my mom and dad would go to other children's events, but Pastor, they wouldn't come to mine. Sometimes it's because perhaps one of the parents abandoned the family or had an affair. Maybe because of physical abuse. He slapped me or she slapped me. Maybe because a parent traveled and wasn't there when the children really need them. You said, Pastor Benny, if something's happened in my life as a parent, what did I do? Well, here's what I want to say to you. Don't justify it. Don't justify it. Go to your child and say, hey, I messed up and I'm sorry. And I ask you to forgive me. And it's amazing what might happen in that child's life. Step number three. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. Remember what's going on with your child. It's a spiritual battle. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said, Peter, the devil's tried to sift you. What does sift mean? It means to shake violently. What's the devil trying to do with our children? He's trying to shake them violently. He's trying to shake their lives is what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to disrupt their lives. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Remember, this is a spiritual battle, and it can only be conquered spiritually. Number four, resolve to take care of yourself. You know, there's a scripture in Acts 20 and 28. This is what it says. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. What does that mean? It means pay attention to yourself. It means this, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what the situation of your prodigal, you can't let your prodigal destroy you. No matter what the situation of your prodigal, you can't let that prodigal destroy you. You've got to quit beating yourself up. You were not a bad parent. You may have made some bad decisions, but you were not a bad parent. Because if you was a bad parent, God was a bad parent. Billy Graham was a bad parent. And Jim Sembler was a bad parent. Because they all had some children that didn't turn out well. And you've got to resolve to take care of yourself. There's a fifth thing I'd say to you. Render love no matter what. Render love. Now think about this story, folks. This boy goes to his daddy. He says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You got to understand, in biblical times, when a father died, the elder child got 2/3 and the younger got 1/3. So what this boy was saying, Daddy, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead. As far as I'm concerned, you're dead. Give me my money. You know what's amazing? The father still loved him. You know, when he was out there with the harlots, when he was out at the Crystal Pistol with the lounge lizards, when he was deep in sin, let me tell you something, the father still loved him. And folks, let me tell you something. What our job is to do is to love people. Our job is to love people unconditionally. It doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't mean you condone their behavior. It doesn't mean you condone their sin. But our responsibility is to love people. I tell you, I went through a situation in my life. I went through a situation in my life when I had some of my family and some of my close friends, children came to them and said, I'm gay. I'm gay. You said, Pastor Benny, what'd you think? I remember right out there on that road, folks. Right out there on that road, I run. And many times I pray running. I've often been asked, do you pray long prayers, Benny? Do you pray long prayers? I'd rather sum it up like D.L. Moody said. I don't pray long prayers, but I don't go long without praying. I don't pray long prayers, but I don't go long without praying. I'm always in a spirit of prayer. I may be laughing 1 minute and praying the next. Barbara living with me, she's praying constantly. But I was running on that road right out there. And I was praying. And I was thinking about, if my child said she was gay. And I was just thinking, and she's not. But as I was running, I was praying, and I said, Lord, if she was, I don't know that I could welcome her in my house. And the Lord spoke to me and said, she might not be welcome in yours, but she'd be welcome in mine. And here's what I want you to know, folks. Our responsibility is not going around with a hammer beating people up. Our responsibility is to love people. The responsibility of Rock Springs Church, the responsibility of any church is to love people. It's to love people no matter what. I'm just getting real. I'm just getting real personal. I'm getting sentimental. I'm getting old. But I remember when Savannah Abigail was a little girl. She'd want to stay all night with friends. She never would stay all night. 2 in the morning, phone would ring. Hello. Daddy, I'm scared. Come get me. I'd get up. Barbara would say, sucker, sucker, sucker. She never would. She went away to college. I wrote her a note. I don't know if she kept it. But I said, Savannah, you remember I always told you it would never get too late. And I said, Savannah, it never will get too late. No matter what happens in your life, you can call me. I'll come no matter what, because your mother and I love you unconditionally. I said, listen, I don't want you to become whatever, but whatever you become, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. Because that's what God's called us to do. God's called us to love people. No matter what they do. No matter who they are. No matter what color they are. No matter if they're poor. No matter if they're rich. No matter if they're the wrong side of the tracks. The right side of the tracks. That's what God's called us to do. He's called us just to love people. You know what we ought to do, folks? You know what would explode the church world? If we would love people until they ask us why. If we would love people until they ask us why. And they would say, what is different about you? Why do you love me no matter what? And you could say, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus loved me when I didn't deserve to be loved. And I'm going to love you no matter what. Let me give you one other point and I'm done. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. The last point is to reach up to God through prayer. You know, I've often thought about this story about the prodigal son. The Bible says when he was a great way off, the father saw him. And by the way, this is the only record in the Bible of God ever running. The only record of God ever running was when he ran to get that boy. Now, if you've got a prodigal, let me give you a verse to claim. It's in Romans 12:12. And by the way, I want you to know. You know who this message is for? Get a mirror and stick it right in front of your face. Because it's for every one of us. That's who it's for, including the guy that's preaching it. Because more of my family is away from God than are with God. More of your pastor's family is away from God than are in the church today. So I have prodigals. Here's the verse, Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope. Don't give up hope, folks. Don't give up hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing in prayer. That's the verse. You know what's amazing, folks? I was researching prodigals. I've given quite a bit of time just to studying prodigals. And you know who has more impact on prodigals than anybody else? You say, oh, Pastor Benny, if it's a child, it's the mom and dad. No, it's not. Here's the answer. Who has more impact on your prodigal than anybody else is a friend. It's a friend who comes into their life and speaks into their life. So if you've got a prodigal, and you do, here should be your prayer. God, send that friend. I'm probably not going to be the person who can speak into their life. But God, send that friend to speak into their life so that they'll come back to you. In a few weeks, folks, Barbara and I are going to New York. I'm going to New York to preach again at the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Do you think those New Yorkers can understand me? I just don't know that they can. And I'm excited because the book that probably impacted my life more than any other book other than the Bible was Pastor Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Pastor Jim Cimbala, he's preached here. But Pastor Cimbala told a story in that book. He said he had a daughter, Chrissy. And he said, we raised her right. But when Chrissy became a beautiful young girl, and she got involved with a bad guy. Beautiful young girl. But she got involved with a bad guy. Listen, young lady, if he doesn't love Jesus more than you do, you don't need him. He don't love Jesus more than you do, you don't need him. He's out and he's got more hands and Oscar the octopus, you don't need him. I don't know that she did it, but I used to tell Savannah when she dated, take your Bible. Take your Bible. I remember her first. I remember when she went to the prom. True story. Little boy came, is going to take her to the prom. And I said, let me get a picture before y'all go. And I reached in to get my camera, and I pulled out my 38. I said, wrong pocket. You say, you serious? Is there a cow in Texas? I said, take your Bible. Put it between you and him. He can crawl over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't need to be out with him no way. Chrissy got with the wrong guy and her life messed up. I think had a child out of wedlock. Sin takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, makes you pay more than you want to pay. Never meant for it to go as far as it went. It just got messed up. Jim and Carol said they just prayed and said one Tuesday night, they was having prayer meeting, folks, having a prayer meeting. And a lady walked up to Pastor Sembla and said, Pastor Sembla, I just feel like we need to stop right now and pray for Chrissy. And we stopped, and Pastor Sembla said these words. He said, it sounded like a labor ward. It sounded like a labor ward. People crying out to God on behalf of my daughter. He said, I walked home, and I said to Carol, Carol, it's over. It's over. It's over. Chrissy's coming home. She said, Jim, what do you know? He said, I just know tonight it's over. He said, 36 hours later, I was shaving. I had shaving cream on my face. Carol said, Jim, come downstairs. Chrissy's here. Chrissy said, Daddy, I've sinned against you and Mama. I've sinned against God. I'm so sorry. I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I ask you all to forgive me. I want to get my life right with God. And then she said, Daddy, who was praying Tuesday night? He said, what do you mean, Chrissy? She said, I was in a deep sleep. And in this sleep, I was heading toward an abyss. I was heading toward an abyss. And right before I went into the abyss, God put his arms around me. And he said, Chrissy, I love you. I love you. I still love you. And I always will love you. And she said, Daddy, I woke up and got on my knees and asked the Lord to forgive me. I asked the Lord to forgive me. What are you saying, Pastor Benny? I'm saying, listen, folks. Whoever your prodigal is, don't give up. Whatever became of that young girl, she married a pastor. Yeah, married a pastor, and they're pastoring a church now, and she travels around and gives her testimony of what God has done in her life. Isn't the Lord a great God, folks? What I say to families, don't give up on your prodigal, because nobody's going to pray for your prodigal like you. Nobody cares like you.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.